So the Easter weekend is undoubtedly the most significant weekend for Christendom. Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection are the events that define Christianity, that defines our faith. You know, Christmas is often seen as the biggest event for Christians. But in reality, Resurrection Sunday is the biggest defining event for Christendom, for Christianity. You know, Christmas brought hope to mankind. But if Jesus did not rise from the dead, that hope would have been meaningless. Jesus' resurrection is the most important event, not just for Christians, but for all mankind. Good Friday is powerful. I mean, we had a powerful time here worshiping the Lord together for Good Friday. But Good Friday is powerful because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If there was no resurrection, there would have been nothing good that came out of that Friday. Just a man suffering on the cross. The resurrection of Jesus makes all the difference. It validates all his claims and it justifies that he truly is Lord of all. The Apostle Paul writes about the importance of the resurrection to the Corinthian church. This was a church that he had planted, and it had grown over time, and they grew in number, they grew in spiritual gifts. But as they grew, they also became very divided. They had a lot of issues that they argued about. Who their favorite preacher was, Paul or Apollos. They were divided on issues of sin and sexual immorality. They were divided on how they should take the Lord's Supper. The church was also arguing about the reality of the resurrection of the dead for believers. And some believed that the believers wouldn't be bodily raised from the dead. So Paul is speaking into this issue. They had so many issues, but this issue was the most important issue. He was addressing this issue through his letter to them. And we have the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 15. And I'm going to read out of that. Verse 12 to 20. And he says this to the church. He said, "But tell me this. Since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying that there will be no resurrection from the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless. And your faith is useless. And we, the apostles, would be lying about God. For we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world." But he doesn't stop there. He says, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, and he is the first of a great harvest of all who have died." So Paul is highlighting this significance of the resurrection. He said, if Christ did not rise from the dead, then our preaching is useless. Our faith is useless. The apostles are all liars. You are still guilty of your sins. That would still have power over you. That would still have the final say over your life. We won't have a hope or a future. Basically saying that the resurrection is the underpinning foundational truth on which everything about Christianity hangs. And I want to talk about some of these points that Paul brings up, that he highlights. In verse 14, he said, if Christ had not been raised, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then all our preaching is useless. All our preaching is useless. Today I'm wasting my time if Christ did not rise from the dead. Today, everything we preach, everything that the scriptures tell us are realities that you and I can hold on to because Jesus was raised from the dead. If he wasn't raised from the dead, all we have is a story about a man of principles who was killed for what he believed in, no different from a Mahatma Gandhi or a William Wallace. People who were killed because of their stance and their principles that seemed to pose a threat to the powers that be at that day. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, the Bible at most would be an inspiring book. His life would have at most brought inspiration and not transformation. He would have been called a great teacher, a martyr, a guru, a good man. Many titles could have been ascribed to him if he did not rise from the dead. But today we have a title for him. He is our living Savior. He is our resurrected King. Amen. Paul, the disciples, history testifies that Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried. And on that third day, just like he said he would, he rose from the dead. Luke chapter 24 verse 1 to 6, it says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found a stone rolled away from the tomb. And they went in and did not find the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen.'" They went to the tomb. They went with spices. They wanted to embalm the body of Jesus because from their natural witness and what they saw, they witnessed Jesus Christ dying on the cross. But they go to the tomb and the stone has been rolled away. That huge big stone has been rolled away. And they went into the tomb. And when they went into the tomb, they saw that the body of Jesus was missing. And they saw an angel there. And the angel says, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is alive." And let me tell you, Jesus didn't need the stone to be rolled away for him to come out of the grave. He didn't need the stone to be rolled away for him to get access out of the tomb. The stone wasn't rolled away for Jesus. The stone wasn't rolled away for him to come out. The stone was rolled away so that the witnesses could come in and see that he truly is not there. He is not among the dead, that he is alive. Amen. He is risen. People in his time and people even today have encountered the living Jesus. That is why today we don't celebrate a martyr. We don't celebrate a teacher, a good teacher, a guru, a good man. Today we celebrate the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Today we celebrate the one who is worthy, the Lamb upon the throne, the hope of mankind. He is the resurrection and the life, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, our living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And he is the coming King. And Paul says, if Christ was not raised, all our preaching is useless. And I thank God that Jesus resurrected and our preaching is not useless. And that is why we preach Christ, not a system, not a way of life, not a good idea or principles. We preach the living Savior. He is alive, and because he lives, we too shall live, and we can all have that hope for this life and for our eternal life, because Jesus Christ is alive. He hears us. That is why we preach Christ. This is the most important message for the world. Jesus is alive, and if you put your faith in him, even though you die, you too shall live. The world needs that hope. Amen. So he says, if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless. Then he goes on to say, all our faith would be useless too. I mean, why would you put faith in a dead Messiah? A dead man cannot hear you, let alone help you. And it's a scary reality if our faith is in vain or useless. Because there will be moments in your life, in my life, where all we have keeping us going, keeping us pushing through is faith. Faith is what gets us out of bed every morning. Faith that God is going to see you through. Faith that God will do as He promised. Faith for your life and for your future. Faith that God will hear your prayer. I don't know about you, but like I said, there are moments when the only thing that kept me going was faith. Faith that God was able and God was going to make a way. And Paul says, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can be assured that our faith is not in vain. You are seated here and you have faith. You are believing God for something. You are believing God for a miracle. You are believing God for a breakthrough. But for God, you have no hope. You will never see that breakthrough happen. But I want to tell you this morning that your faith is not in vain, because your faith is not in luck, is not in a dead God. Your faith is in a living Savior. He hears your prayers. And the Bible says, because He is alive, He hears us. And because He hears us, He will grant us that which we believe and have faith for. Amen. Come on, give Jesus a clap offering. In the words of Tamara, please, please, please give a clap offering to Jesus. So if her next announcement, you don't hear that many pleases, it's probably my fault. To some of you, you need a miracle. You need God to intervene in your life. For God to do something. Maybe it's in the area of your health, the area of your finances. Maybe some of you need a miracle for your marriage or for your children or for your career. I want to assure you that if you put your faith in Jesus, your faith is not in vain. Taste and see the Lord is good. Amen. Jesus said to the father of a young boy who had been tormented by evil spirits, who wondered if Jesus could save his son. Could Jesus really do what he heard that he could do? And Jesus says to him in Mark 9 verse 23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Yes, your circumstances seem impossible. Yes, there may have been disappointments. But if you can have faith, if you can hold on to that faith, if you can believe, you will see that your faith is not in vain. With God, all things are possible. All things are possible for him who believes. Nothing is impossible to God. Hold on to your faith. Amen. Jesus is alive. And the Bible says he is your advocate before the Father. He is seated in heaven interceding for you. He is alive. Hold on to your faith. Amen. Your faith is not in vain. You can rest in that assurance. And then he says, if Christ has not been raised, we, the apostles, would all be lying about God. For we have said God raised Christ from the grave. Basically saying, if Christ did not resurrect, that means all of us, all the disciples, all the apostles, we are all deceivers. You know, there are people who try to debunk the resurrection by saying that the disciples planned it all. They lied. They had this big scheme. They all kind of came together and plotted. You know, we're going to lie to the world. We're just going to go in first. First, we're going to drug the guards that are guarding the tomb. And once the guards are all out cold, we're going to roll away the stone. And then we're going to steal his body. And then tomorrow we'll tell everybody, on Sunday we'll tell everybody, Jesus rose from the dead. There are actually people who come up with a theory like that. Yes, they were talking about these disciples. These disciples that ran away, hid, denied him while he was alive. These guys decided to proclaim him after he died and lie that he resurrected. You know, if you study the lives of these men, you'll realize that this theory is ridiculous on so many levels. When you read about the lives of the disciples, you realize that this story about the resurrection did not benefit them in any way. They had nothing to gain from it, and they had so much to lose. Because of the resurrection testimony of the disciples, they were persecuted, they were beaten, they were hated, they were hunted, some of them were stoned to death, some of them were skinned alive, they were boiled in oil, they had their property confiscated, their family members killed, simply because they proclaimed that Jesus was alive. They could have at any point denied Christ. Said, no, okay, we lied. You know, sometimes when your kids are lying and you just go and give them a little bit of pain. Sure, not, you're telling the truth. Oh, okay, I'm lying. Not my kids, lah. Don't report me, yeah? Child abuse. Some other kids. They had nothing to gain. Because people lie to get out of trouble. They don't lie to get into trouble, right? So they were not deceivers. They knew what they had seen. They knew what they had experienced, and they knew that the resurrection of Jesus, they knew what it meant to them and what it would mean to the world. And that's why they were willing to teach it, preach it, declare it, declare this truth, even in the face of torture, even in the face of suffering and death. They declared Jesus is alive, even while being, some of them were crucified. Even while being crucified, they were declaring Jesus is alive, Jesus is alive. He is God. He is risen. He is the hope of mankind. He is the light of the world. They went to their death declaring their truth. So he said, if Christ did not rise, then the disciples would be liars. And based on history, we know that they were not liars. They had nothing to gain. They lost it all declaring this truth. Then Paul goes on to say, if Christ has not been raised, you are still guilty of your sins. Sin still has power over your life. Today, there is not a single person here among us here today that can say that we are without sin. And imagine this, Paul says, if Christ did not resurrect, we are still guilty of sin. And that's a frightening thought, because sin, as I spoke about over the last 2 weeks, makes us unrighteous. Sin demands judgment and punishment. Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 20, it says, the soul that sins will die. Matthew 25, 46, and this will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Only the righteous go into eternal life. And yet the Bible says in Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, not even one. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin is a condition that all humans have, and it is a condition that affects all of us. Sin separated man from God. And the Bible says that God does not listen to the prayers of the sinner, of the unrighteous. If we are still in our sin, our prayers would not be heard by God. He would hide his face from us. Because of sin, death now becomes a frightening reality for all of us to face. But we thank God for Jesus Christ. The Bible said, God made him who knew no sin to become sin, so that you and I can become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 5 verse 15 says it like this. For the sin of this one man, talking about Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to us being made right with God. Even though we are guilty of many sins, we are made right, even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and His gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. All who receive the fullness of what Jesus Christ accomplished for you, you will live in triumph over sin and death in Jesus Christ. If that is not good news, I don't know why all of you are frowning. Give Jesus a shout of praise and say, thank you, Jesus. He broke the curse of sin and death. His death and resurrection assures us that our sins are forgiven. Because He was without sin, because He was innocent, because of that He could represent all of us. He took all our punishment for sin upon Himself. He fulfilled the righteous requirement of the law and reconciled us to God. The curse of sin is broken over your life. Colossians chapter 2 verse 13. Then God made you alive with Christ. For He forgave all our sins. All your sins, guys. He canceled the record of charges against us. Took it away by nailing it to the cross. Because of sin, in this courtroom, there was charges against you. Just guilty of this. Too many tattoos. Guilty. There was all kinds of charges against you that the principalities, spiritual authorities, these powers could use against you to give them a right over your life. He's a sinner. So I have a right. Sin opens the door to the enemy. The devil would have this written charge against you. But it says, what He did, He took all the charges, all the sins upon Himself, dealt with it on the cross. So today, when the devil wants to accuse you, he looks for your file. He looks for your file. He looks, and he finds the name Suzanne. I wouldn't say anything. Short, but that's not a sin. She's just more down to earth than everywhere. Lifts it up. Looks through it. And it's empty. Hey, well, I thought I saw this person do this. I thought, demons, mini, kuti satans, come. Didn't you all tell me that she had this bad thought, she said this, she did that, you know. But I look into the file, nothing. And then our great advocate stands before us. All her sins paid for, dealt with. The punishment that sin deserved, paid in full by me. At the cross, in Calvary, more than 2,000 years ago. Suzanne is righteous before God. Amen. Come on, give Jesus a clap offering. Let me finish that scripture. He canceled the record of charges against us. Took it away by nailing it to the cross. In that way, He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. The weapon that the enemy had against you was the record of charges against you. He took it away. When He took it away, He disarmed this enemy. Now the enemy has nothing that he can use against you. Stop giving him weapons to use against you. The only way he can use things against you is if you tell him and you give him that power, that authority. Listen, it's already been dealt with. Stop living in condemnation. Stop living thinking that you are not enough, that God is not enough, that the blood of Jesus is not enough. He is enough. Amen. Today, forgiveness of sins is yours in Christ Jesus. And His resurrection proved that He was the perfect sacrifice for sin. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God who was worthy to represent us before the Father. Today we are His righteousness. Amen. Paul goes on to say, your faith is useless. You're still guilty of your sin. And he says, if Christ did not resurrect, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. What he's saying is, that means death would still have dominion over your life. That means the wages of sin would not have been paid. And because the wages of sin would not have been paid, death would still have dominion and power. And you and I have got nothing to look forward to beyond this life. You know, a study showed that Christians are the most peaceful when facing death. And let me tell you, no other belief system can offer you that peace. How many of you have been to Rome? A few of you. And beneath the city of Rome, there are the catacombs. You know about the catacombs? Hundreds of miles of underground tunnels. And these tunnels were used by the pagans first and then by the Christians to bury their dead. The Christians used to hide in there during the persecution. Just miles and miles of tunnels. And the dead are laid there in holes and so forth. And you can read the inscriptions that are above or left behind by the loved ones of those who have passed on. And you can read the inscriptions over the pagan dead, those who did not believe in Christ, so didn't have that opportunity. Their thoughts about the funeral or the death of their loved ones. Some of them read like this. One says, live for the present hour, for there is nothing else. Another one says, this one was written by someone for a loved one, I will lift up my hand against the God that took me away at the age 20, though I had done no harm. And another one reads like this, once I was not, now I am not. Another one reads like this, traveler, curse me not as you pass, for I am in darkness and cannot answer. But then when you read the inscriptions of the Christians, some of them, I'll just read a few to you. Here lies Messiah, put to rest in the dream of peace. Lance, my sweetest son, carried away by the angels, called, he went in peace. Another one, victorious in life, in peace, and in Christ. What a difference Jesus makes. What a difference Jesus makes. That is why Paul could make that declaration. For me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. No one else will tell you. No one else could make that declaration. To die is gain. But the one who knows Jesus Christ, the one who knows His death, and the one who acknowledges His resurrection, they know that death is not the end, it's just a crossing over from life into eternal life. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 54 says, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It says the sting of sin is death. So death had a sting. It's like a scorpion. It had a sting, which was sin. And it says the wages of sin is death. And sin made death powerful. Sin was a sting of death. It gave death the right to hold men, to hold the souls of men. But because Jesus dealt with sin, He removed that sting from death. So death is now like the scorpion without the sting. Death is now powerless to harm you, to hold you. The moment you die, you will be released, absent in the flesh. present with the Lord. That is why the scripture refers to those who died in Christ as those who have fallen asleep in Christ. It isn't the sleep of death. It is the nap into life. Amen. So those who have fallen asleep have not perished. That is why you and I can rest assured that when our time on this earth is done, we will be reunited in heaven with all our loved ones, the ones who have gone before us, friends who have gone before us in faith. We know today they are alive and well with Jesus Christ in heaven, because the resurrection made all the difference. Someone once said, if Jesus is still in that grave, nothing really matters. But if Jesus came out of that grave, it is all that matters. Today, you and I have a hope and a future for this life and the life to come. For us to live is Christ, to die is gain. What is your future like? When you think about your future, is it fearful? It doesn't have to be that way anymore, because Jesus is alive. Amen. Now, I heard this story about Albert Einstein. Apparently, Albert Einstein, as you all know, was a genius. But at the same time, he was very forgetful. So once he was in this train, and he had forgotten where he put his ticket, and he was looking for his ticket all over his pockets, looking. And then the conductor comes, and says to him, "Yes, sir, can I have your ticket?" And then he's looking. He said, "I can't find my ticket." And when he looks at Albert, he says, "Oh, you are Dr. Albert Einstein." He says, "Don't worry about it. I know who you are. I know who you are. I know you are Albert Einstein, and I know you bought your ticket. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about your ticket. You can just relax, and I'll just pass you." And then the conductor goes about his business, and when he comes back, he sees Albert Einstein still looking. He's looking now. He's looking under the seat. He's rummaging through his bag. And then the conductor goes to him and said, "Dr. Albert, it's okay. It's okay. I know who you are. You don't have to worry about your ticket. I know who you are. You don't worry. I know you got your ticket." And he turns around and says, "I know who I am. I just don't remember where I'm going. I don't know where I'm going." Do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know where you are going? Do you know what He accomplished for you? How He made you righteous, set you free from sin and death, and how you have hope in this life and the life to come? Jesus Christ is that ticket that ensures you that you have a future, that you have a place with the Father in heaven. Jesus Christ is that ticket. Maybe some of you have misplaced that ticket. So you're living in fear and insecurity. Maybe you've not looked at that ticket for a long time, and you've forgotten who you are, and you've forgotten where you're going. Maybe you've misplaced the ticket. So you're living in fear, worry about the future. You're looking at everything that's happening around you, and you cannot forget. You've forgotten. What am I doing here? Who am I? Where am I going? This morning, He wants to remind you, you are a child of God. He chose you. He called you out by name. The Bible says, "No one can come to me unless the Father draws them." The Father drew you into this relationship with Him. because you are precious and valuable to Him. And He called you, He prepared you in Christ Jesus for good works that He prepared beforehand, that you may walk in them. And let me tell you, you have a purpose and a destiny in Christ Jesus. If you have no purpose, He wouldn't have created you anew in Christ Jesus. You have a purpose and a destiny. You are created by design for purpose. You have a hope and a future. One day, all this will be wrapped up. One day, everything is going to go back into the box. You know, like the game of Monopoly. You know, I used to play Monopoly and you'll fight during the game. This is mine, my property, money. Ah, ha, ha, I'm rich. I conquered. I bought over all that territory. Oh, ha, ha, ha. And you're so happy and you feel like the most, the most accomplished person in the world at that moment. And then mom calls for dinner. Put away everything and come. And it all goes back in the box. It all means nothing at the end of the day. One day, the trump will sound. You know which trump I'm talking about? Trumpet. One day, the voice of the archangel will shout forth, "It's over. Time to come home." And all of this that you're living for, all of this that you're giving your life for, that you're fighting for, that you're holding offenses for, that you're getting all worked up about for, will all go back in the box. And you will be standing before your Creator God, the Father who created you, who formed you. You'll be standing before Him. And the only thing that's going to make a difference in our lives at that point is we reach in our pocket the ticket. And the ticket has a name. His name is Jesus. I put my faith in Jesus. I live for Him. And let me tell you, Jesus Himself will walk through that gate and welcome you. "This is my beloved son, my beloved daughter, with whom I am well pleased." And the only reason He can do that is because when the grave could not hold Him, death could not keep Him, He is alive and well. Amen. Come on, let's give Him a clap offering. Jesus is alive. And because He lives, we too will live.